AT&T, if you are listening, your representative said that if I went over, you would just charge me again and I would not be slowed down. However, I have been slowed down and I am angry about it. Welcome to The Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I am Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney. Here, we take a look at all kinds of things.
We may tell stories, we call them side stories, welcome a friend to join us, or interview someone more widely known and ask them all kinds of questions. And sometimes, yes, sometimes we may just do a little Matt chat, discussing the current happenings of our life.
Through all of it, we hope to give you something atypical as you listen along your typical day. Welcome to The Atypical Podcast, Matt.
I got a new little mixer here, Jenny. Do you like what I did there?
I do. I could be like a pop star with that, I think.
We'll make you, you've got a future yet, Jenny. You just hold on. Your future's ahead of you because I'm taking you viral. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this effect, but welcome to the Atypical Podcast. There you go. I won't do it again, but I kind of want to.
I know. You just want to keep
I want to do it
that.
Again, but I won't do it again. Hey, Jenny, I wanted to welcome you.
Yeah.
Something I always like to start the podcast off doing. It's nice. It's awkward. It's consistent, though, and I like to be consistent. If I've learned anything from my daughter with autism, you know, some people like routine. So I just like to start off every time on the podcast by welcoming you.
Predictability feels good, you know?
It feels good. We all like a little bit of predictability, autism or not. Jenny, we took the week off last week. Just as far as you know, just to take a little vacation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't do the podcast because we were just sleeping in.
Sipping Mai Tais, hanging out by the beach or not. It's one of the busier weeks of our life. And it's a week that 99 Balloons puts on. It's actually a day for most people, kind of a weekend. We got things going on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday. But we got to be a part of what we call Engage, which is a conference kind of centered on inclusion, disability, and the church. And then there's an evening event called 99 Balloons Presents. So we've been talking about that. You've probably heard about that. But we invited Heather Avis. I would say now our friend, Heather Avis.
Our friend.
I wouldn't have said that before.
Well, but I'm not going to say Heather Avis. I'm going to say my friend Heather. Because
I smell a friendship brewing.
Because after I picked her up, I picked Heather Avis. See, I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay, I picked Heather up. When I say Heather, y'all, I'm talking about Heather Avis. I picked her up from the airport, and about an hour and a half later, by the time we got from X&A to Fayetteville, figured out where we were going to eat, all that kind of stuff, met up with Matt, and I said something like, oh, she heard me on the phone with you, and I said, well, I'm here with Heather Avis, and she finally said, you know, you don't have to say my first and last name together. Like, I just, because
Jenny,
it's like...
let's talk about it, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about you or about one little facet of our weekend, but... So, Jenny, I put you kind of in charge on these weekends of picking up our keynote speaker, which this year was Heather. And, you know, you're so funny and we're so different because you kind of get nervous.
I get nervous in like one-on-one with someone I don't know. Like, yeah. What if her whole intro into like 99 Balloons or Northwest Arkansas or our family or whatever, like, what if I like really bomb it, you know?
Well, yeah.
I say Here's something stupid.
If you do, she's going to head home. And if you don't, she's going to head home.
Yeah, she didn't care. She's like so lovely and does not care at all. But I was a little nervous, but
you know, okay.
It wasn't anything to be nervous about, come to find out.
Well, it was fun to have Heather in, and she did a great job speaking, and she was a whole lot of fun. But we had a lot more things than that. We had speakers coming in and presenting from all over. We had our friend Emeka from Tulsa. We had Ariel, our friend from Austin. So it's really this time. I think we ought to talk about this, Jenny. It's kind of funny that we do a conference, quote unquote.
That's what I was going to ask
you
about.
I'm doing air quotes here for conference because I'm kind of notorious for hating conferences.
What do you hate about conferences?
Well,
that's so harsh.
I hate to say that I hate conferences because many of them are very good and they serve a purpose. But
and many of them, like we've connected with folks at other conferences, like our friend Jolene from Iowa.
Yeah, no,
and
I
then
love.
She was a part of this one.
I love talking to people and I love meeting to people. And that is what a conference is so good at. You pull together all these people that you never could see or never meet. And for that reason, phenomenal. They're great and they serve a purpose. But man, about 2 hours in, maybe an hour and a half in, I'm just, it's so many little micro conversations and I love them all. I think that's the thing is like, I love people and I want to talk to, and a conference just feels like you get like 3 minutes.
Yeah, with 2 minutes all
100
the time.
People mm-hmm. that you wish you would have gotten 30 minutes with, but there's no way to possibly do that. And so they do serve a purpose and we enjoy doing this, but this is not the usual conference experience because we're putting it on and making it happen. And so it's stressful in a different way. But I had to just take a side note because most people, if you've ever seen me at a conference, you know, I'll describe them as, you know, how are you doing? How's your soul? Are you enduring this death weekend? Okay. Because
you're so I think
there's this side of them for people in the space that I do. Maybe it's a male thing or an ego thing, or maybe it's my issues. Most likely it is. I feel like I see a lot of comparison game at conferences.
Oh, that's tricky.
Or,
yeah.
Being in the in crowd of a conference or the presenters, or you go to this green room, and I've been on both sides of that. So I've been the cool guy at the conference and I got the gold sticker on my presenter's name tag. And then I've showed up at other conferences and been like, nobody knows me, and set up my 99 Balloons booth next to people who literally their booth, they probably spent $10,000 on it. And I had a $100 budget. And that was part of that was getting there. So I spent it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I set up my poster board that I made the night before that, you know, Sharpie 99 Balloons, not that quite that bad. But they just bring out this whole...
Everybody all at once. It's like a social experiment.
It's a social experiment. And there is something about my personality. We could probably talk about the Enneagram here, Jenny.
Ooh, I feel like we
kind of wear that topic out every
no
once
way.
In a while.
No way. I want it to be brought up every episode somehow.
So I don't know what it says about me, my makeup, my Enneagram number. Maybe I'm a Labrador Retriever or an otter.
No, stop. That's not Enneagram.
Or a puppy dogger. whatever test you're
that's
buying into.
That's not Enneagram. That's the beauty of it.
I don't know what it says about me, but like whenever there is a group of people or a throng or a cool thing or a popular person. Like I will go to some of these things and I get really unbelievable opportunities and I'm so honored to be invited to things that I'm invited to. Again, I love meeting people and love talking to them. Just hate these little symptoms. That's what
the symptoms. You don't like the feel of the culture that can be kind of like hustle. Whoever talks the most or whoever, whatever can get the most attention from...
In the cause space, I feel like there's a lot of people trying to make their cause the sexiest, or a lot of speakers trying to get a lot of followers, and that's my judginess coming out because I do not know their hearts, but you do see a lot of that, and I think I'm really to throw myself under the bus. I think I'm really I see that because I am. Very capable of that. Like,
oh yeah.
But for the grace of Jesus, like, man, that's the way that I would operate. Like, Jesus has challenged me quite a few times. Are you going to build an organization around disability and the worthiness of everyone despite their gifts? Are you going to do that? Are you going to build that organization on your gift set?
Ooh.
Do you think that's what I'm calling you to do?
Man, that sentence right there, that's big, especially in disability space.
Should we rewind it and play it again?
Because
I don't even know what I said.
No, that was good.
Anytime I get you to amen me, I'm excited.
Okay, two thoughts on this topic. One is we talked with a friend this weekend as we were actually when we took Heather to the airport. Our friend Amber Haynes was in the car with us and we talked about struggling with that like FOMO feeling. Fear of missing out, for those of you who don't know. And
FOMO,
I said...
F, fear, O, of, M, missing, O, out. I feel like some people just needed that explained.
Yeah, that's good. And I said, like, I don't even... My brain cannot even comprehend that. Like, even some of the stuff you're talking about. Because I, right here on the spot, came up with a new term for people like me. And it's called FOGO, fear of going out. We don't even want to... We don't want to be in the limelight. We don't even want to go out there.
Pretty much your whole entire life is shaping it around missing out.
Yeah, like, it's the best thing.
How can I not be there? How can I not be involved? How can I not be on the stage?
So new thing going viral, FOGO, okay? Hashtag. And then the second thing I wanted to talk about was, and maybe I'm wrong because I don't think that way about conferences in general, but I feel like there's not a lot of that about a lot. There is not a lot of that at Engage because it's just a smaller conference. It's real.
Well, disability space is a space for the most part that hasn't attracted. Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's true.
The other thing is you really, and you know, you could spin your wheels on making disability ministry sexy, but that's probably not the way that we're going. And that's why I see through some of that. I mean, God has called us to a space where it's like, you know, this is never going to draw you in because of what you want. This is going to be about dying to what you want because you see something more beautiful and you see a better picture of the body of Christ and you're attracted to people on the margins. And hey, listen, that is not where I would be headed, but for Jesus pushing us that way. So I'm talking out both sides of my mouth.
Yeah, we're not wanting to be judgy.
I see the problem because I can be the problem. We're not trying to be judgy. I just can't help it. And so the reason that I hate conferences, just to kind of sum all this up. You okay over there? There's a loud thud.
There's a loud thud.
Coffee put
Sorry,
down.
Guys.
It's okay. The reason that I hate conferences, it's a love-hate relationship with them, with gatherings, conferences. I tend, you know, to want things to happen. I want to pull people together. I want to pull them in. I want to make things happen. And I love and I'm passionate and I'm called to this. And so that can really go the wrong way.
Yeah.
If I'm not careful, you know, I'm trying to get to know someone so that they can fill in the blank for me. And so I just really don't want to be like that. I am prone to be like that. And, you know, I'm not going to pull any punches. In church, conference-y, organization, conference-y type spaces, there's just a lot of ego. There is a lot of networking, a lot of self-promotion.
Yeah.
And man, I don't need that. I struggle with that enough. So it's like, it's like a drunk walking into a bar, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, steer away from the bar.
Steer away from them.
So
all that to say that's your feelings about conferences. But the Engage conference went really well.
Judy, bring it back. Way to go.
I'm sure people were there with egos. I didn't notice that.
No,
I know. I'm just joking.
What is special, one thing that is special is the group of people that you bring together, like the most comments that I had from the evening event was, I've never experienced a room so diverse with people. And so there was, whether that be race diversity, there was that, but there was also just a diversity of different abilities.
Yeah.
And
in
so
one room.
When it would get quote unquote air quotes again, when it would get quiet in the space, you know, there were our friends with disability making noises, saying something, walking around. Lena's flapping in the back.
So Lena was dancing for a while in the back. I'd put that on one of my stories. But it was like, it was just this picture of like, a lot of times gatherings like this are kind of shiny because they're shiny. And I think that this one thing that was beautiful about it was that diversity of Lena dancing in the background. You have our friend Micah who didn't want to sit down. And so when everyone else is sitting down to listen to one of the speakers or someone doing, like, we had our friend Amber do poetry, like, he was standing up. And I just like loved that. You know, another a friend of ours, Adam, against the back wall would just kind of talk through different, you know, sometimes out loud and different things. And like, that is what it should feel like.
And so, you know, I think that I briefly talked and probably took the microphone and talked too much. Typical. Another issue I have. But I think people are seeing when they kind of come, they talk about the diversity of the room, and they're, you know, one person even told me, I just sit and cried because I'd never been in a room anything like that. And so for us, I think we're in that space quite a bit. We are in a community through 99 Balloons, through Recess, through different avenues. We're in a community where we cross paths and we have a daughter and we have a lot of relationships with persons with disability, but I was reminded that so many don't.
Mm.
They don't have that. And so it is a beautiful thing to invite them into a space where they see, and they are profoundly touched by that in ways that I'm like, oh, wow, really? Okay. That brought you to tears to see a room as diverse in that way that you've never seen. And so, you know, I think for some folks, they're seeing that thing that we talk about so much out of 1 Corinthians 12, but that Jesus had a more full picture of the body of Christ when he says the body of Christ than we typically experience in our churches. And that is something so important to us. So to have a night, to have a gathering where you don't just talk about it, but it's visible to your community and they're invited into that, man, that's really special. That's really fun. And people like were so generous to pull this thing off. We had like 50, 60 people help us do this.
Yeah,
so
it was crazy. Volunteers, people helping behind the scenes.
People
doing childcare,
people
setting up chairs. I mean,
music, using their gifts. I mean, we had guys come in and set up lights and music, and they put hours on hours into this. So another just like the walkaway really for me, because I don't get to participate in too much that's going on because it's all kind of behind the scenes and running around and making sure nothing's falling apart or whatever's falling apart nobody knows about. And so, but just the fun of it in me is just seeing people like bring their giftings.
Yeah, that's really
and
cool.
Pull this off, because there's no way, we don't have the budget to pull off the things that we just pulled off. You know, this is not a moneymaker conference for us. This is something that people who give the 99 balloons make possible. We don't, we lose money on it, you know, and we think it's a gift to our community and it's worth doing. So seeing people come and set up lights for hours on hours on hours, setting up music on hours, doing childcare, volunteering, coming from all over to come and speak at it.
Well, and another part along those same lines, I was, as you were doing the planning, specifically meeting with creatives, like we had Jasper, our friend Jasper Logan, we've played some of his stuff on here before, who's a local rap artist. And then we had Amber Haynes, who's a poet, and Seth Prim, who's a musician here in Northwest Arkansas. And so what these guys did is they brought, and of course Heather Avis, but they brought their creativity, and as not just in the space of 99 balloons, but as Lena's mom, like I take it real like personal, that a lot of times artistic endeavors aren't for her. They're not, people aren't creating things for those who may not be able to read them. They're not creating things for those who may not be able to hear them. But by creating these things for the community who then step into a space of advocacy or are more aware, they are doing it for my daughter. And it was so profound to me that people would use their gift sets in this space. Now, granted, you have Matt Mooney going, hey, will you do this? He's a little pushy. He's asking people to do things, but they could have said no.
I just tell them, do you want to be a part of the kingdom? Or do you want to watch me be a part of the kingdom?
So anyway, I hope that makes sense, but it really gets me almost like a little weepy that like there's something done in this space that is shouting her worth, and people are using their gift sets to do it.
And it was a special, special time. So thanks for listening to us talk about it. I think it's good for us to kind of process it, because it is such a busy, like it's one of our busiest weeks, but it's worth it. You know, even my love, hate, it's teetering. Hold on. Depends on which day you ask me, but it always ends up on the, man, I loved that. Like in the entirety. And so, hey, if you weren't able to be here and you're from afar, we'll do it again next year. And maybe we'll bring some pieces of that. We did a little recording, did a few things. So maybe we'll be popping some pieces of that into the podcast. We're setting the date for next year. We're thinking about who to invite already for next year. So we'll be putting some of that information out. But I need like a week's worth of letter writing to say thank you to all the people that helped us pull it off. So if you're out there and you were a part, or you just showed up and came, you know, I said it over and over because we've done it both ways, but conferences are a whole lot better when people come. those are better conferences.
Yeah, those are better.
We've had both, and so it was fun. People were there, people were gathered, and it was a good time. Jenny, I want to segue now into just a few discussion points, just a few things we came up with to discuss, if you will, and you will.
Yeah.
And that is, man, spring is kind of a kind of a wild and busy, crazy calendar time. And so right now, if you were to look at our calendar, we're through the week. So that was kind of on top of everything else. And but I got to feel like if we're feeling some of this, there's probably some other people out there kind of feeling the,
Tell you why.
There's a lot of stuff on the calendar.
You want to know why? This is a little rant.
Yeah, come on with it. I feel some heat coming from
just plugging this right in.
Come on.
Listen, you know why? It's because it's been winter for 500 years.
Yeah.
And when you have things that are supposed to be for spring, but then winter just like overstays its welcome. Mm. We don't need you here anymore. It's hung around for too long. So then everybody's trying to like cram all the things that we missed out because winter hung out till mid-April into now. So then you have like, for just one little example, people.
Give me one.
Just one. That is soccer season and baseball season for the children. And for our children, it's just Anders in these two particular sports. Soccer and baseball are only supposed to overlap like about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like practice. So it's like not a big deal. You just could like skip one practice, blah, blah, blah. But because, you know, all of soccer got snowed out or rained out or below freezing out, blah, blah, blah. Soccer just is going to go right on and they all overlap. What are you supposed to do with that? It's like crazy. So here's what I'll tell you what we're doing. We're skipping soccer on one day. We're skipping baseball on another day. I'm not doing two things in one day.
Mm.
Those of you parents who go from one sport to another in one day.
We applaud you.
Good for you. Good. I'm not doing it. You can't make me.
You're winning out there. Jenny, I appreciate you bringing that rant, bringing that that pointless passion that you have to bear today in the podcast. Thank you for doing that. But I did want to ask you, as this is like a, and we have second, third, and fourth graders. So, you know, there are people much busier than we are. And I kind of, but just I hate busyness. Like I hate that everybody says.
Lots of stuff on the schedule makes you feel a little claustrophobic, I think.
Well, and I think it's a societal Western American thing of like, how you doing? I'm really busy, which really means like, I'm important. My schedule's full. I'm the cool dude. How are you doing? Oh, I'm crazy busy, man. So there's a part of that that I just despise. And I'm like, you're as busy as you want to be. You know,
amen.
Now
I do
have a talk that I give to college kids quite often,
which we've discussed here before.
We've discussed
Let's
a
remind
few times,
us about it.
But let me remind you, if you're in college and you think you're busy, and they all do, right? And they're all probably busier than they've ever been. I just remind them, this is as least busy as you get. And so people have gotten on to me
from
that,
here till retirement.
That was the talk. That was the entirety. Hold on just a second. Sit down. Get out a notepad. Are you ready? This is as least busy as you'll ever get. So quit telling me how busy you are. But love them. Love everybody. Lots of love coming out from me today. This podcast is an opportunity for me to get
it's
hatred
like a
out
therapy
on
session.
Thing other than people. You know?
Okay.
I just release it into the air, into the ether, and I get over it. And so there is a part of me that just hates the culture of busy. And we're even reading a book in our community group on crazy busy, how busy we are. Hadn't been our favorite book. Well, we won't talk about that. But it has been led to great discussion with our community group and a challenge on, we just kind of swim in this culture and water of how busy we are. But in particular, this is a busy season. So right now, I'm conflicted here because though I hate it, I am an honest person.
Yeah,
so I have two things competing. And so here we go. It is a busy season.
Blame it on winter.
We have Hazel doing a play, Hazel playing softball, Anders having the overlapping because winter won't go away of soccer and baseball. And so I'm about to pull my hair out, just trying to get him to all the things. But we're making it, and you know, I've decided, Jenny. I found a way to fix it.
What's that?
I'm going to go to Montana tomorrow.
Oh, good.
On a little fly fishing trip. You're going to join me for our anniversary.
Yeah, y'all. So, we've almost been married 17 years. It's
17.
A long time. I said that
our
to a friend the other day,
is
and
about
I thought
to be able to
that
vote.
Can't be right.
Our
I'm
marriage
not that
is
old.
Almost able to smoke. This is exciting stuff, Jen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let's talk about our marriage. Let's go there. Sure do love you. You know, 17 years of marital bliss, I like to say.
Yeah, ditto.
Is there anything you wanted to tell everybody about our marriage?
Not on the Atypical podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're married 17 years. That was what I said about it.
Okay. So yeah. if you're enjoying marital bliss and also have a lot of things going on in your life, Jenny, I did want to say, in these seasons that are busy, I did want to ask you a question. How is it that you maintain a relationship with Jesus and put a little effort, time, and energy into that when our schedule looks like, you know, from 6:30 to 9:30, whatever that is, it's kind of going, taking kids, getting them, you know, doing your side hustle jobs. I'm going to a job. And so when we get into the seasons, what is it as a good practice? Maybe something, maybe a discussion, and maybe you're failing at it too. All of those are okay if you're out there. We are with you. But how is it that you pursue Christ in really busy, ramped up seasons?
I'd say two answers that are both like two sides of the same coin. One is I learned from an early in motherhood for me is that it's very important for me to be alone and to be alone with the Lord at some time in my day and in my life. So even if I wasn't sleeping at night because my kids' babies were up late or whatever, like I always had to wake up early. So my sanity rested. Like I literally could, you know, if you're in the world of autism or maybe a child in special education, you do a lot of like data on like how they're progressing and learning. Everything's data driven. So it'd be really interesting to do data on the days that I wake up early versus that I don't. But I make it a priority to get up. Like even if I'm really tired, I will just get up like 15 minutes early. And the flip side of that is giving myself a lot of grace in those seasons to go, you know what? I'm going to find pockets throughout my day to seek the Lord. And it might not be, you know, 45 minute Bible study in the morning. Like who cares? It's just going to be intentional time of seeking out the presence of God. So those are flip sides of the same coin, being disciplined to get up early because it's life giving to me, not because I feel like I have to. And then on the times where I don't, letting it go, grace throughout the day.
Yeah. I think for me, it's kind of along the way attitude. So for me, the schedule looks very different every day, and I don't dictate a whole lot of that. And of course, I can get up as early as I want, but I really like sleep, and I don't want to get up. And I'm still not, even though our kids are now second, third, and fourth grade, I'm still not out of the mode that where they scarred me in infancy, particularly our little adorable lovely girl named Hazel. She really scarred me on the sleep thing. So I just feel like if I have any opportunity to get sleep
like,
at night,
go.
Like, I'm still in this like PTSD stage. And
it's been a long time
about PTSD, which is a real thing, a real problem. But I'm still in this stage where I am if I wake up and I go, oh, there's five more minutes I could get. I'm like, I'm getting it.
I'm getting the five minutes.
Because it wasn't too long ago and it was like, oh my word, we're not sleeping at all. But we are getting sleep and our kids are actually doing good. But I think for me, just kind of an along the way attitude, like if something gets eaten of a time that I wanted, like, okay, well, maybe I'll go for a walk and I'll pray on the walk. And or maybe there's a little time I can carve out. But if I fixate on what I didn't get to do, if you know, like I didn't get 30 minutes today, and I didn't get to open my Bible today, or I didn't get to sit and pray, and you know, I didn't even pray for so and so today, you know, like I can kind of hear those voices of really being my spiritual life being dictated by what I didn't get to do, instead of just taking a few minutes and be like, well, you know what, I can pray here for the next 5 minutes, I can read here for the next 20, or I can take a walk. And I think just getting out of that grid of religiosity and really trying to develop a relationship with Christ and invite him in and walk with him and walk in freedom of like, I'm loved and I don't have to perform today, a little monkey, to get my Jesus to like me. And so for me, it's kind of just along the way attitude during these particular seasons and knowing that at different times I'm going to have pockets of really disciplined seasons too, where I get to do this. I get to do it every day. And I really enjoy that. it's sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So thank you, Jenny, for walking me through a little bit of how you make it through.
Yeah, thank you for sharing about you too.
I'm grasping for straws. I'm taking notes because I'm just hoping we make it through here. Overlapping soccer and baseball.
It's the truth.
Jenny, there's something we do every once in a while that I wanted to do with you today. So sit back. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's a little tradition that we do periodically. And as we head into spring, I thought, man, this will be a good time for what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're rocking.
Now,
let me explain it to the listeners. This is me where I ask Jenny what she's reading, what she's watching, and what she's rocking. The rocking has been confusing. The first time I brought it up, you started telling me what you were wearing. But typically, that's fine. Maybe we'll do that today. But really, that's reserved for what you're listening to in the headphones.
Yeah.
In the earbuds. So, Jenny, what is it that you have been reading as of late that you've enjoyed?
I'm reading two books right now. I'm reading a book by Sarah Thabarge that we have had on our show before. And she was actually I just love the episode. It was a long time ago. It was early in the podcast days. It was before I was in on the interviews. So I just listened. Her first book is what we talked about. Well, Matt and Sarah talked about on the podcast way back when. But her second book is out now, and it is called The Well. It's been out for a little while, but I'm just now getting to it. And it is the story of Sarah spending 3 months in a country called Togo in Africa working in medical care. And she talks about the culture there. She talks about women's issues there as kind of a reflection of difficult women's issues around the world. She talks about the difference in kind of first world, third world, what each of those places would say are problems, you know, first world problems. And it is just, it's kind of a hard read as she has a history of being a medical journalist. So she will kind of talk in detail about some of the medical situations, which makes me a little queasy. But what she's trying to portray in that is how difficult some of the medical situations are around the world. And she does a great job of doing that. And also just wrestling with a good God in the realm of global suffering. So,
man, I would like to, just as I hear you talking, I'd like to read that in light of, you know, just the work that we do through 99 Balloons globally. It's a dark, rough place. You know, we don't advertise that. We're very careful. We call it, we're not doing the fly in the eye thing where we make you feel sorry for our work and then beg you to be a part. Like, our philosophy is you'd be lucky to be able to be a part of helping these guys, and they're wonderful, beautiful, made by God. So we're very careful in how we do that. Now, with that said, I mean, it's a very hard reality when we go work in developing countries with persons with disabilities. So I'm intrigued. Now, that was book number one.
Yeah. Book number two is a prayer book.
Is that the name of it? A prayer book?
Well, we'll have to, you guys go look at the links in our show notes.
We'll link to that at theatypicallife.com, as Jenny doesn't know the title of the book she's reading.
A good friend of mine is in seminary, and she's reading it for a seminary class, and she shared it with me, and it's real simple, but it's been super profound in my life, and I'm like pouring over it. So anyway,
walk us through it. What is the prayer book? What are you liking so much about it?
Because each chapter I've read a few times, they're pretty short chapters, but it's like, I mean, I don't know how many, maybe 30 different like prayer kind of categories. It would be like community prayer, creative prayer, work prayer, blessing prayer, like all these different things. And then she kind of like will explain them and talk about how they're connected in scripture. And it's been really, really neat for me.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to reading on this Montana trip. I'm bringing a Frederick Buechner book. I might buy one on the way out too. So you never know what I'm going to do, but I'm looking forward to reading. Jenny, next we have what you're watching, which this is where you simply tell me what you're watching. All right. Want to make sure everybody's on the same page there.
We watch the same things.
We do. So this one we do together, Jenny. We got two things that you're going to tell us about, and I'm just going to give just unbelievable color and input on.
Okay, this is good. Because, see, I like answering these questions a lot. So we have watched two Netflix documentary series lately, okay? And let me just say on the front end, neither one of these are fluffy. They are there are parts of both of these that are have adult content. They are, you know, parental, whatever, advised. Like, they're not for your children. These are for adults. So the first one is called Flint Town. And it follows the police department in Flint, Michigan. And it's right after the water crisis. And it is fascinating. It's fascinating to me for a few reasons. One is that Roger and Me that came out ages ago was on Flint and the deterioration of Flint. And so this is like following up however many years later.
Roger and Me is a documentary made quite a few years ago by a filmmaker named Michael Moore, who since has been famous for all sorts of political things. But the way that he got known as a filmmaker was Roger and Me, which detailed kind of the downfall of the car industry in and around Detroit, particularly his hometown of Flint.
Yes. So Flint's in and out of the news. Flint has struggled so much over the years. One thing that's really interesting about Flint in general to me is that growing up, spending summers in northern Michigan, I always had friends from Flint. And so it's just like a little bit of a, it's just very interesting. And so we watched that. It follows the specific people who are on the police department. And then it's using that to kind of say the bigger picture of like the state of Flint.
Yeah. And I mean, it touches on so many things, particularly kind of forefront is the racial side of policing a town like Flint as it was kind of the height of the media coverage of black men getting killed by police. And so you're looking at that, those stories coming out through the eyes of a police force who's trying to do their best. It's a very cash-strapped, they have the fewest officers per capita of anywhere. They're resource-strapped. But you're looking at this as you have black officers, you have white officers, how they look at it differently. Trump is, this is during the election, so Trump is coming through town to speak about the water crisis. Then there's the water crisis and just urban decay being talked about. And then there's all sorts of other things kind of looped in there and brought up. So they really drive it through story as any good documentary would. But it's really well done. It's kind of one of those things you kind of have to push through. Like, I mean, Jenny likes the Park and Recs type of content, you know? So she has to fight her inner demons to be like, okay, it's meaningful. Let's watch it anyway.
Not always, but I do have to close my eyes on certain scenes because
that's
it's
fine.
Hard.
That's particularly fine. Yeah. And so that was Flint Town, documentary series available on Netflix. The other one that we have been watching is also available on Netflix. So if you by chance don't have Netflix yet, sorry about that.
So this was recommended on the Popcast, which is a really funny podcast that I listen to. And the gal on there recommended this documentary series called Wild Wild Country, which when you hear that name, you picture maybe one thing, but it's actually about a cult that gained popularity in India, but a lot of Westerners, it gained popularity with Westerners, and they brought it over to this huge property in Oregon and tried to build a commune in the early 80s and all the drama surrounding that and the drama internally and externally with this cult.
Well, they landed in middle of nowhere, Oregon, in a town near Antelope, Oregon, which you've never probably heard of, and they built an enormous city. So there were tons of people. They just took over this podunk town. And so you've got interviews with like the townspeople. I mean, for us to try to unpack this.
Yeah, you can't. It's too bizarre.
It's an LSD trip on a cocaine binge. I mean, it's all very strange. And, so let me interrupt. And it has a very sexual side. The cult did.
So you got to know that that's.
Put on your put your awareness on red alert on that one. But, you know, just a brief discussion on that, Jenny, which I know you will love. You know, there are certain things where there are naked people involved and they're not attractive or sexual in any way, shape, or form. I feel like this falls into that category.
Yeah, it's completely in that category.
So, you know, when I was 18 years old, we went on a friend of mine, Jeremy, shout out. A friend of mine took me on a cruise. We went on a Mediterranean cruise, and we had heard, you know, man, there are these beaches, they're nude beaches, and we're going to go to these, and it's just kind of part of the culture, and they're kind of making us aware, like, people aren't going to have clothes on. As an 18-year-old male, let me tell you what my mind was thinking. Sweet. This is going to be awesome. I mean, I'm sorry for the world, but 18-year-old males, they don't have a problem with that necessarily in their minds. But my mind had crafted a different thing than we experienced. And so when you got to these beaches, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to ever, can I unsee that? And so
this movie falls in that category.
This movie most definitely falls into that category. Though we say the word sexual, it's probably not too many people jumping on the struggle
anyway,
bus.
Anyway, we watched that documentary series as well. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating to me in like, what drives someone to be a part of this or to do this? I mean, the questions that your brain will walk away with after watching this is like insane.
And I would say it's well done, but it is slow. So that's also a warning. We woke up a few times and went, well, maybe we'll watch. And I mean, yeah, we're trying to watch things, you know, at 10:30 at night. So sometimes we wake up and we say, wonder what happened. And so, or one of us fills the other in. So that's what you're watching, Jenny. Now we move on to what you're rocking. What are you listening to in your Apple earbuds that I bought for you?
Also real excited to share this too.
Okay. I'm just excited you're excited.
Okay. So you guys know I love the Enneagram. If you don't, that's okay. Get in touch with me later, and I'll teach you.
Haters gonna hate. Haters gonna hate. Brush them off, Jim.
DM me. So there is an artist named Sleeping at Last, and it's actually a guy, and then his like band name is Sleeping at Last, but he's the main like. There's a one guy that's the main writer or whatever. And Sleeping at Last, this band has had songs on Grey's Anatomy. It's been on Twilight. It sounds a lot like a soundtrack. Most of, you know, their music sounds like a soundtrack. And so somewhere along the way, this band, and particularly this one main front guy of this band, came across the Enneagram and are impacted by the Enneagram. And so they have released 4 of what will be 9 songs, 1 song per number of the Enneagram. Okay. So for instance, the album title is called Atlas, and what he's doing is he's releasing like 1 EP like ever so often, and it's some things don't have anything to do with the Enneagram, but there are 9 that are for the Enneagram. So he's done, the album name is Atlas, the song is 1. Okay, so I think that's right. Well, check the show notes on my details here.
Don't forget, folks, she can't remember the name of the book she's reading. So, excuse me. Don't expect too much by way of details. Hey, Jenny, before I fall asleep on the description,
you're
so excited.
Okay, so
about,
number one,
get to it.
One, Enneagram One is a perfectionist, is one of the one of the things they're called. They like things done a certain way. Sometimes it will take them a long time to do things a certain way. There are different ways when you get into the Enneagram that talk about like how a one would feel love, how a one would express love, all these different things. And so this band has taken a one on the Enneagram and written a beautiful song as if it's what the one would sing out to the world. And it's so good. They've only released 4. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
So they're releasing 1 at a time.
One at a time.
9 of them.
They'll have all 9. And I'm a 9, so I have to wait to the very end.
Oh, can you do it? What if they release them out of order, though? You don't know. They're artsy fartsy. They may do that.
They may do that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 9. Gotcha.
Oh, gosh, I would love that.
Yeah. I mean, if they release them in order, I'm a little disappointed if they're creative.
But I've listened to 1 through 4, and they're so good.
Jenny, I'm going to institute a rule that for every time you bring up the Enneagram on a Matt Chat, and I actually enjoy the Enneagram. We've enjoyed Ian and Suzanne, and I think we're going to have some interviews in future about the Enneagram, and that'll be different. You'll be able to talk about whatever you want. But I think for Matt Chats, for every minute you talk about the Enneagram, I get a minute to talk about my high school basketball career.
Deal. That's a good deal.
That's a pretty good deal. So you do have some time. You have some stored up time. through all of the podcasts before now, but yeah. You're catching up quickly. Uh-huh. So thanks for that. I need to hear those songs, and I am interested. We will link to that on the show notes and links at theatypicallife.com, since Jenny couldn't quite remember if she got it right. On listening on What You're Rockin', Jen, for me, this really has less to do with a particular album or anything like that, even a particular podcast, but I gave in yesterday. I put up a good
just
fight.
Just yesterday, y'all.
I put up a good fight. I want everybody to know that I gave in. So, Jenny, yesterday we turned your Spotify account into a family account so that I could access Spotify. Now, I don't like joining things that cost me money every month. We talked about Netflix and Spotify. Yeah. And so I feel like all those services are winning as I age. They're winning out. But there were a few things. I like having albums. Yeah. Like, I like buying people that I like and feeling like I'm supporting them. And so for a while, I had a little moral dilemma, maybe still kind of do, with Spotify. Like, are the artists getting appropriately paid? And that was like a big discussion in the early days of Spotify. But now I feel like everybody moved on from that discussion. But I was still there. I was still like, now are my artists getting paid? Like my buddy Ben Rector, when I download his song, is he making good money off this? Because Ben needs to feed his family, and he's an artist, and he's really good. I used to buy his album. Now I pay Spotify. So I haven't figured all that out, though I know somebody tried to describe it to me, and they lost me.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. And so anyway, the world moved on. Like, that discussion is now over. Taylor Swift even got over it, and she joined. And
oh,
put
she
her,
did?
Put
I don't
music,
even know.
Well, she did it one time. She might be back off of it. I can't keep up with her drama, but she's got some new songs out about old boyfriends probably. But nonetheless, I joined Spotify, and I will be listening to music soon. If stupid AT&T will quit throttling my account. AT&T, if you are listening, your representative said that if I went over, you would just charge me again and I would not be slowed down. However, I have been slowed down and I am angry about it. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked there, Jen. But I'm on Spotify. I'm looking forward to listening to music as long as AT&T lets me have what I've paid for. Jenny, that concludes our what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're rocking part of our thing. Thank you for joining in there. You had a lot to add.
I had a lot to add on the surfacey things. I have so much to say.
You really do. When it comes to depth, total silence. But when it comes to shallow, anything near The Bachelor, you are a
wealth
of
knowledge. No, not The
Bachelor,
but I would say depth. It's not total silence. It's just partial silence. But then when it's more, you know, shallow things, I got all the shouting.
Well, hey, I'm here to get you talking about deep things because I think you got great things to say.
Oh, thanks.
17 years in, Jen.
Great things to say.
Sure do love you, Smoopy. All right. On that note, we love you too. Thank you for listening. Anything you want to tell the Atypicalers out there before we sign off?
Nope.
Hold on just a second. Thank you for listening to the Atypical Podcast. Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening in today. We hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks for putting up with that. We hope that you have a good week. We love you. As always, you can find show notes and links at theatypicallife.com. If you'll be on the lookout, we have got a completely new, just overhauled website coming your way very soon that we're excited about, as well as we're going to be trying out a new format for the summer. So we will be keeping you posted about those changes soon, and we're looking forward to having a little bit of fun along the way. Hope that you're enjoying it as well. Have a great day.